Hi, and welcome to the Prayer to Go teaching on prayer. My name is Bob Sjogren, and I'm going to be helping you retool your prayer life. Over the next 8 lessons, we are going to be taking a fresh look at what it means to pray, what the purpose of prayer is, why so many prayers do not get answered the way we want them to be, and how to pray effective prayers that do get answered, along with much more. Each lesson is broken up into 3 parts. The first part deals with the theology of prayer. We will be looking at God's Word to see what it has to say about prayer. That will be about 20 minutes in length. After that, you are going to spend a small amount of time praying. Then we'll break you down into small groups, and you'll be given discussion questions. This is where you'll interact with each other and apply it and learn the most. Now, in starting this series, I'm going to be making a few assumptions. First, I'm going to be working under the assumption that you can pray, and that you've realized that prayer is simply talking with God. It's having a conversation with God, just like you would any other person. And secondly, I'm also going to be assuming that you already do pray to some degree. Along with those assumptions, I want to narrow our focus in the area of prayer. As you know, there are many different types of prayers, and this series is addressing a specific type of prayer, too, actually, petition and intercession. Petition is where we are asking God to move in our own life to do something for us, and intercession is where we are asking God to move in the lives of others. These prayers, the petition and intercession, are what we are going to be focusing on during our 8 lessons, because this area of prayer needs the greatest help. So, with that being said, let's jump into our first time together. In our first lesson, we are going to be looking at why so many people feel that their prayers of petition and intercession are so ineffective. Giles Wilson of the BBC did an online article in February of 2002 titled, "Does Prayer Work?" With it was a picture of the Pope and with 2 other key leaders. Here's what the caption said. "The world's religions got together a month ago to pray for peace. Has the planet seen any impact? And is there any evidence that prayer works anyway?" The article then read, "Just a month ago, the Pope led 200 religious leaders from around the world in prayer for peace. The venue of this landmark occasion was Assisi, the place which, fittingly, gave the world St. Francis and his prayer, 'Make me a channel of your peace.' And yet a month on, peace seems as elusive as ever. Dozens of Israelis and Palestinians have died. Worshippers at a mosque have been gunned down. Fears of further conflict rose after President Bush spoke of an axis of evil. Zimbabwe grows further away from the world community. One could scarcely conclude that prayers had been answered in any miraculous way." I wanted to highlight that article because it typifies the attitude many Christians have about prayer. Why pray when my prayers are not answered in any kind of miraculous way, the way I want them to be answered? If you were to look at the 161 prayers in the Bible that we found that dealt with intercession, over 50% of them were clearly answered positively. Why doesn't the average Christian get that many prayers answered positively today? We are going to address that question head on and begin answering it in 2 major ways. Now remember, we're looking at prayer in the form of petition and intercession. So, why don't we see these kinds of prayers answered positively? The first reason is very simple, and that is because we do not pray very much. The second reason is this: we petition and intercede with wrong motivations. Let's look at the first one. We simply don't pray many prayers of petition and intercession. If we were to take a poll around the nation and ask people, "How much time do you spend in prayer?" the answer might stun you. Although 82% of people in America pray to God, This means all kinds of prayer, worship, confession, intercession. According to David Butts, the president of Harvest Prayer Ministries, the average Christian prays only 3 minutes a day. Pastors only average 5 minutes a day. Think about that. 3 minutes of prayer a day for the average Christian. And that doesn't necessarily mean petition and intercession. Just 3 minutes of prayer, period. Why are we averaging only 3 minutes of prayer a day? There are two reasons why we believe Christians average 3 minutes of prayer a day. First, we are too busy. And secondly, we don't think we need to trust God for our daily needs. Let's look at the first one, we are too busy. For many men and women, between getting ready for work, then going to work, putting in a long day, and then coming home exhausted, there is very little time or energy left for prayer. For stay-at-home moms, between playing taxi cab driver, being the nurse, making the meals, cleaning the house, maybe being the homeschool mom, it all just adds up to an extremely busy day. We feel we are so busy with life and work that there is very little time to be still and seek God. And because most parents don't pray, most kids don't follow suit. They don't pray because they don't see their parents praying. Besides that, they're too busy with school, extracurricular activities, and homework. There's just no time. God is only being given the scraps of our leftover day. If there is a time left over in our busy day and there's energy left over, then we will seek God. In the book of James, the 4th chapter, verse 2, our Lord tells us, "You do not have because you do not ask God." If we are not praying, we are not petitioning God. If we are not asking God to move, He is not going to move. Put simply, if we prayed more, we would see more answers to our prayers. These are God's words found in the Scriptures. But busyness isn't the only reason we pray so little. A second reason is the idea that we don't really have to trust God for our daily needs. Think about this. When our Lord taught us to pray, it was to pray for our daily needs. Give me this day my daily bread. What do you need each day to survive? Most people in America have very few needs in the physical area compared to the rest of the world. So most people wonder, why should they go to the Lord and say, "Give me this day my daily bread," when all they have to do is to go to the store and buy it? We are fairly self-sufficient. Quite honestly, in light of our needs, most people really don't need to pray. When I took my family over with me to West Africa to speak for the Southern Baptists, we came face to face with moms who literally got up each and every morning and prayed, "Okay, Lord, where am I going to get enough food to feed my family for this day?" They averaged far more than 3 minutes a day in prayer. They prayed without ceasing, as the Scriptures command all of us to do, for their stomachs kept reminding them to pray. They constantly needed to look to God for their daily needs. Do we need God in America? Oh, absolutely. I need God for salvation, but for daily needs? No, not really. Therefore, we are not motivated to pray. So a little praise and worship, yes, about 3 minutes a day, just enough to check in with God, just to make sure He's aware of us, and just wanting to be sure that a catastrophe does not come our way. We are looking at the question as to why most of our prayers of petition and intercession do not get answered positively. We said there were two reasons. First, we don't pray very much. And secondly, when we do pray, we pray with wrong motivations. Let's look at that second reason. If we were to break petition and intercession prayers down into three basic categories, we would say there are prayers for ourselves, prayers for others, and prayers for God's kingdom. A balanced prayer life might look evenly distributed like this, where 1/3 of our prayers are for ourselves, One-third of our prayers are for others, and one-third of our prayers are for God's kingdom. If you look into all the intercession and petition prayers in the Bible, you will find something very interesting. Statistically, out of the 161 prayers in both the New and Old Testaments together, we found that 21% of the prayers were directly for or about God's kingdom. 34% were prayers that were lifted up for themselves by people, and 44% were prayers for others. As we did our analysis, many of the prayers overlapped into two or three categories, so we tried to take that into account when we did our analysis. That would make the pie chart look something like this. Now, please note, in our research, the prayers for self were not selfish prayers. They were deep concerns people had for themselves, such as safety, wisdom, and physical needs. But what we have found in personal experience is that when people pray, they are praying the majority of prayers for themselves, and they are selfish, and they have very little or nothing to do with God's kingdom. We face today what was happening back in the times of the early disciples. Look at the next verse in the fourth chapter of the book of James. It gives us a hint into what James felt many people's prayer lives were like back then. The text says this: "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you might spend what you get on your pleasures." The verb ask is the middle voice, meaning ask for yourself. In other words, when we are going to God in prayer, it is usually for things for ourselves or prayers of petition. Hence, it is the bigger piece of the pie and would look something like this if we were to chart it out. The majority of their prayers are selfish prayers for themselves. There are some prayers for others, but few are directed primarily for God's kingdom. There is a clause that follows it. It is a purpose clause. It brings more clarification to what James is saying. The word spend, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures, could accurately be translated squander, meaning to waste away. Pleasures is the Greek word hedones, which is where we derive the word hedonism or hedonistic, meaning self-centered. And what James is saying is, God will never provide hedonistic squandering. In other words, your prayers are not being answered because you keep wasting them on self-centered prayers. Even though God warns us not to pray this way, we still do. Why? Well, aside from the fact that most believers are not aware of this verse, there is a key reason. The Bible speaks about us having two natures inside of us. There is the old nature and the new nature. The old nature is the natural person inside of us without Christ. It is called the sinful nature, or the earthly nature, or human nature. It is ugly, egotistical, and by living for itself, it naturally ends up doing things that are not pleasing to God. The new nature is that part of us that has been born again, meaning just as we had a physical birth into this world, so too when we ask Christ into our lives, we had a spiritual birth. God's Spirit came into us and united us with Himself, giving us a spiritual life that did not exist before. Now, on the one hand, the Scriptures say that we crucified this old nature when we became Christians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says these words: "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." It has been crucified on the cross like Jesus. The nails have been driven in, but it is still alive, kicking and screaming for attention and trying to reign with influence. And its influence can still be felt. It gave that influence for our entire lives before we became Christians. It knows what buttons to push to make things happen. Because it is alive on the cross, trying to throw around its influence, the Scriptures also tell us to put it to death. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, a book written also by Paul, so it's the same author, we read, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." And then it gives a list. Put it to death. Both are true. Paul says, it was crucified. And then in another letter, he says, put it to death. How in the day-to-day affairs of my life do these verses work together and affect our prayer lives? The crucifixion of our old nature means that it no longer has the sole authority in our lives. It no longer controls us 100%. Being nailed to the cross, it has been dethroned. It is still kicking and screaming, wanting to get back on the throne and be in complete control. Before we came to know Christ, it was completely controlling us. But now, being believers and having a new nature which is united together with the Holy Spirit, this new nature can control us. And when it does, the old nature has to get off the throne of our lives and no longer be in control. Now, Galatians chapter 5 speaks about these two natures that are in conflict with one another. Let's see what it has to say. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. This means that there is a battle in each and every one of us, a battle for the control of our lives. Are we walking in God's power or in our own power? Are we walking according to our new nature or our old nature? Now, here's how this affects our prayer lives. The old nature is self-centered and asked one simple question when it was in complete control. What does this world have to offer me? Now, when we became believers, it was dethroned and nailed to the cross. Yet it remains alive and seeks to yield its influence. In its struggle to get back on the throne of our lives, it has adapted itself to the believer's new Christian environment. So instead of asking, what does the world have to offer me? It now asks, what does God have to offer me? Oh, yes, this sounds so Christian. It sounds so right. Surely they'll let me be in control, thinks the old nature. Yet to the trained mind, it is still self-centered. In a Christian context, doing Christian things like prayer. So our prayers come out self-centered. What can God do for me? What things do I want that God can give me? Two natures battling it out on our insides, wanting to be in control. When I was in high school, my gym class teacher had a poster which showed two dogs looking at each other, and it said, "There are two dogs in the fight. The one you feed the most will be the one who wins." There are two natures inside of us. Whichever one you feed the most will win. That will be the nature which is in control of your life and in control of your prayer life. And most of us subconsciously feed our old nature more by the choices we make in how much time we spend watching television, how much we spend in our free time, how we spend our money, what we choose to basically live for. And as a result, when we pray, our old nature ends up influencing our prayers greatly because we have fed it so much, and we end up petitioning God mainly for things for ourselves. They are self-centered prayers. These prayers have a lot of me, my, and I's all throughout them. We are going to call these prayers cat prayers based on the teaching of cat and dog theology that we do. As James puts it, we are praying hedonistic squandering. As a result, God is saying, no, I'm not going to give you things that are selfishly going to be spent on you. So what are we learning in this lesson? Most petition and intercessory prayers aren't being answered for one of two reasons, says the book of James. We are either not praying, or when we do pray, we pray selfishly, and God doesn't answer those prayers. In conclusion, Let me tie these two ideas together and help you understand why most Christians do not pray more than 3 minutes a day. Quite honestly, most Christians really do not believe prayer works. Let's be serious. If we really believed it worked, we'd spend more time doing it. Why do we not believe it works? Because when we became true believers, we were told we were to pray. Yet little did we know how much our old nature was still influencing our minds. And as a result, we prayed old nature prayers, very selfish prayers. Lord, I want a new car. Lord, I want a boyfriend. I need a girlfriend. Lord, I want this. I need that. Those were selfish prayers that God said no to. And because we didn't get what we wanted early on in the Christian life, we gave up on prayer. We concluded prayer does not work. Sure, we'll pray to God and worship Him. We'll ask God to forgive us so we can go to heaven. But we really don't see things happen when we intercede and petition God. No, prayer does not work, we conclude. Therefore, the average Christian only prays 3 minutes a day. Hey, now that we know the problem, maybe we need to give prayer another chance. That's what these next 7 weeks are all about, giving prayer a second chance. In our next lesson, we are going to be discovering what really will make our prayers more effective. But for now, let's pray some Prayer to Go prayers from the website, and then we'll break down into small groups. Your small group leader will guide you into the questions you'll be looking for.
Quiet times. Loving God. Lordship. New nature. Forgiveness. God's Word.